Well, good morning. What a precious song full of precious promises. So I'd like to begin our time together reading some scriptures. First one is out of 1 John chapter 3. And I'll be reading the first three verses. So 1 John 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And then over in 1 Peter, please, chapter 1. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then the last is Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that you have given us this time together this morning, a time to consider your great love for us, a time of thanksgiving, when we can pour out our hearts to you, Lord, with gratitude for all that you have done. And Lord, we thank you for your word for us, Lord, for this hope that you have put in us. Lord, we thank you for our time together. And Lord, we pray that you would show us today more of yourself. Lord, be our enabling to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. The thought that was on my heart began several weeks ago, and that actually begins with the first scripture that I read out of 1 John. A couple weeks ago, you may remember, I had the privilege to share the opening. And I talked at that time in the verses in 1 John about what manner of love the Lord has bestowed upon us, and how that manner of love is so great that, in fact, we would be called his children. That's a wonderful thing to consider, who our Heavenly Father is, that we should be called the children of God. And then there's a future aspect to those verses. We are called his children now, but basically it says in verse 2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So, saints, there's that transforming work that the Lord continually does in our lives to bring us closer and closer to himself. It's an ongoing work that the Lord does. He does that as we yield ourselves to him. So that's my burden today. In verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. So how do we do that, saints? What is this thing that we do as we purify ourselves? So may the Lord help us in terms of that reality in our lives. In 1 Peter, one of the main thoughts in that verse, well, actually there were two. I'll go back to that. Gird up the loins of your mind. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. So it's a matter of that hope that we were talking about, the hope in Him. Also, we have this hope to the end for the grace. So this purifying work that the Lord does, it is a call for us to do something, dear hearts. But it's not just something that we can kind of sit back and just kind of drift. I believe the Lord would have us take action on certain things in our lives. So, as obedient children, I think the Lord would have us do that. And this morning, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So I'll be talking about sin that we have had, and how the Lord has just revealed a portion of that truth to me in terms of dealing with that sin. And lastly, in that verse 15, be ye holy in all manner of life. So there's a call for us in obedience to the Lord to be holy. So saints, my burden, I guess, is the purifying work that the Lord would do in our lives as we yield to Him. And basically, here's sort of in a nutshell, it happens because of His great love. We can't lose sight of that. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Many prayers were offered this morning, and one in particular that I remember dealt with that living hope that the Lord has given us. So praise God. He has done that work to bring us to Himself. We have that living hope within us that is His work and not our own. So, a couple weeks ago, our brother Jim started a ministry on John the Baptist. And something that our brother shared really registered in my heart as well is a confirmation, really, that what I wanted to share was timely. So, if you'll recall, Jim was talking about John the Baptist and the desert experiences that John the Baptist had. Remember that, saints? And it wasn't just a experience, but it was experiences, okay, that John the Baptist had. And saints, I believe that we have those experiences as well. And as we yield to the Lord, those experiences do His work and transform us into His image that we talked about, that we would be like Him. So, our brother shared that as you are alone, having those desert experiences, that's when you really begin to seek the Lord. So, how else would the Lord do that work in our hearts unless we seek Him? So, praise God for those desert experiences that we have. And when we do seek the Lord, we are alone with Him. Our brother shared that those are the times that enable the Lord to do that transforming work in us. And those times, the Lord will confirm that you are His. Our brother also shared that the righteousness of God, when we see that, it moves us to do righteous things. So as we have our eyes on the Lord, how can we help but see His righteousness? So I believe, saints, it's something that we need to pray for, that the Lord would enable us to see more and more of that aspect of Him, We see his grace. We see his mercy. But to see his righteousness and desire that one day we would be like him is something that I believe that the Lord would have us pray about. Our brother also said, the righteous acts of the saints adorn us before God. Jim, I believe that's a direct quote. The righteous acts of the saints adorn us before God. So we need to walk in them. It's not a positional thing. Yes, there are many things that we have in Christ. But we are to walk in these things. We are to have strength before the Lord to walk in these, to do these acts that the Lord would reveal to us. These acts demonstrate that we're walking faithfully before him. So this has to do with being faithful servants and those who are waiting for their master's return. And it's not a new thought that we would purify ourselves or have these things to do. Look in 1 Corinthians with me. Oftentimes when we come to the table, we read out of chapter 11. So 1 Corinthians 11, very familiar verses. But I want to start with verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And here's the verse that I want to really have on our hearts. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So this examination of ourselves, combined with what we said about purifying ourselves, that's what I wanted to share about. So how do we do these things? When does this purification, making us holy, when does that come about? I think that's a question that needs to be answered. When does it happen? How do we do this purifying work? Well, is this purifying work, be ye holy as I am holy, does that happen when we receive the Lord? Does it happen at salvation? That's one event in our life that's huge. Or how about baptism? Does it come with baptism? We know that when we are baptized, we go under the water. Our old man dies. The new man rises up. Symbolically, that's what water baptism is. So does this purification happen when we're baptized? Or does it come with regular church attendance? Does it come with Friday night meetings? Does it come? How does it come? Well, I believe it comes, yes, it has its beginning when we receive the Lord. As we are baptized, I believe that's one of those acts that we do as we demonstrate to the Lord our sincerity and his work in our lives. But I believe that the better answer of when does this purification comes is when those times when we're alone with the Lord, when we allow him to examine our hearts and do that heart work in us to reveal our nature to us, saints. That's when we give those things to the Lord by his Holy Spirit. So, that's when we make ourselves available to the Lord and we hear that still, small voice that speaks to us. So, that's the key. Hearing and obeying. That trust and obey song was on my heart. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. So even this hymn writer talked about our toil. Okay? Our toil he doth richly repay. Well, I want to make this clear from the outset as well. This purifying work that I'm talking about is not something we do in our own strength. I'll make that perfectly clear. It's not something that we can do in our flesh. It's not anything that we can muster in ourselves. It's not an introspection kind of exercise. That's a very dangerous thing to do. So how does it happen? Well, as we yield ourselves to the Lord, as we open ourselves to the Lord and ask Him to examine our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. That's what Paul was speaking of in the verses in 1 Corinthians when he told the saints there to examine themselves. When we do that work, when we have that transaction with the Lord, He reveals things to us that need to be confessed. We confess those sins. We've heard of having short lists before the Lord. As He brings those things to us, we confess. He's forgiven us. He is so quick to forgive if we just confess. So, Spurgeon actually put this whole process this way. God the Holy Spirit works in every person who has a true hope, so that he diligently strives to become purified and uses all means to overcome sin and to walk in righteousness. When a person has a true hope in Christ, he begins to purify himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's that yielding to the Holy Spirit. We must cooperate. So, some points. First of all, in terms of purifying ourselves, we stop performing obvious sins. How many can remember at when you received the Lord? And for me, it was over 40 years ago. But remember I asked earlier if this purifying happened when we received the Lord? Saints, I believe there's some measure that the Lord allows us to see of a changed life when the Lord comes into our lives. And I believe He does that because of His great love for us. And He shows us right away that He's in our lives and He's working by the Holy Spirit. This, as the Lord changes us and then shows us that certain things are no longer happening in our lives, if you will, this builds our faith. The realization that certain behaviors were no longer a problem were a real blessing to me, a source of joy. And this made me aware as a young believer those 40-some years ago that the Lord really was dwelling in my life and that I was a changed person. Think back to those days, saints. I remember the joy. I remember the weight that I felt of sin when I was convicted to pray and ask the Lord into my life. And when He came, how those burdens were lifted. But then also, there were some changes. And I'm not saying I was perfect. Don't get me wrong, okay? But here's another example that I like to share. Um, when Marcia and I were saved, we were saved together. The Lord was so gracious to do that to us. But the brother that prayed with us used to tell the story about this changed life and this evidence of it. He talked about a man who had a very, what shall we say, sinful life, okay? And one of the things that was most obvious to his friends was the fact that he cursed horribly. About every other word was a curse word. When I was growing up, I heard the phrase, cuss like a sailor. Sorry, John. But this person would make the regular sailor look like a saint. Okay? Every other word that he spoke practically was a curse word. So back in those days, in the Dark Ages, there were cars that had metal dashboards. You remember the metal dashboards? Some of you may remember. They weren't all padded. It wasn't a lot of safety kinds of features. Well, this guy's car was a source of real joy for him, source of pride. Remember his nature. This is before he came to the Lord. But the car began to develop with some rattles, and it drove him crazy. Brand new car, and it rattles. So his answer to making the rattle stop was to slam the dashboard. And when he slammed the dashboard, he would usually say a couple words as well, a couple phrases that were very improper. Okay? So it got to be kind of a deal riding with this guy. He'd hear a rattle, he'd slam the dashboard, and he would curse for a while. Blankety blank car. Spent all this money, and it's a rattle trap already. So one day he was driving down the street, and he had just eaten lunch, and he had a toothpick in his mouth. So there were seams in the dashboard, so when it was metal on metal is when it rattled. So he found out that if he wedged that toothpick in between, like where the dashboard ended and the radio grill was, it would stop the rattle. Or if he wedged the toothpick in the little seam, the rim around the clock, it would stop the rattle. So he'd get into his car, and there were four or five toothpicks on his dashboard, okay? But no rattle. So visualize that. He comes to the Lord that night. He goes home. He has a wonderful time praising the Lord, thinking about, the Lord delivered me from many, many things. So he's driving down the road. He hears the rattle. He goes, you know what came out of his mouth? Praise the Lord. After years of cursing about it, his first inclination at that point was to praise the Lord. And that became part of that brother's testimony. How the Lord had changed his life and allowed him to see that. So that's part of the blessing that we have when we're obedient and the Lord does that. So you and I may have other sins of the flesh. Maybe we're not those who cursed a lot. But saints, as we come to the Lord and we honestly seek to purify ourselves, yes, we put away the obvious sins, but what about the others? What about those sins that are more hidden? The sins that we might hold on to and sadly even enjoy just to satisfy the flesh. They're a source of weakness, and we may be tempted to return to those. In those cases, we need to truly ask the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal those to us and have the moral courage to call sin what it is, to call sin a sin, and ask the Lord to cleanse us of that. We need to flee from those sins. This blessed hope that we have, the Holy Spirit living within us, will be our enabling to resist if we yield to Him. If we hold on to those sins, if we enjoy those sins, it won't happen. But if we are able to be shown by the Lord that that is sin, renounce it and ask for the Lord to strengthen us, He will be our enabling to resist that. Think about Joseph. We talked about Joseph several weeks ago. Our brother shared about the mighty men of God and how Joseph, when he was faced with that temptation in Potiphar's wife, what did Joseph do? He fled. Remember? He left his coat and he ran away. So I believe in our minds, if we visualize ourselves, the Lord reveals sin to us, saints, if we declare it no more for us and we actually run away from it. I believe the Lord would bless that. So, the Lord begins that work, but saints, it's a lifelong process. The sins that we have, that I have to be fought every single day, and we have to have the courage to do that. As we purify ourselves, we don't give in to those temptations. And I don't know if you've noticed this, if this has been your experience. But as we kind of wrestle in our mind, well, maybe that's not so bad. Maybe I can do that one more time. When we dabble in sin that way, what happens? It leads to disaster. Okay, as we dabble in it, once we begin to toy with that, then we're hooked. And things go from bad to worse, and before we know it, then we've sinned. Well, as we walk with the Lord, many of us, well, I'll say this. I shouldn't say many of us. I will say it's easy, perhaps, to look at something that we enjoy doing and justify in our mind, well, I'm not hurting anybody. And I can confess. Saints, that's a horrible thing to do. To willingly enter into something with the idea that then you can confess it is not how I believe how the Lord would have us chase this issue of being pure with Him. We have to realize where the temptation comes from. God does not tempt us. Satan is the one that tempts us. The Lord may test us, but Satan is the one that tempts us. So, as we look in James 4, we have this wonderful promise that we can fall back on. James 4, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's a promise. It's so helpful to claim that promise. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, saints, that's some encouragement that we have. As we fight these, when we resist those temptations, okay, resist Satan and he will flee. So we realize the need to put away those obvious sins, and we cooperate with the Lord. Okay? The victory that we'll have in this will never come by the power of our flesh. Another thing that the Lord does to us is that we basically avoid bad company when we first come to the Lord. Some friendships that were appealing, basically the Lord just convicted me that I don't need to be around that person anymore. Okay? So I asked at the outset when we were baptized if the Lord used that to make us pure. Well, when we're baptized, saints, what is that? It's our testimony before the Lord and the principalities and powers that our life is for the Lord. So as we consider baptism a part of that testimony, we also have to think of our testimony in the company that we keep. So I believe the Lord would, praise God, give us new fellowship, new friends. And I believe as we separate ourselves from situations, from friends in the past who have led us astray, so to speak, then the Lord will bless that. He will bless that obedience. So, the idea then in Romans, we could not talk about this without looking at Romans, okay? Turn to Romans 6, okay? Romans 6 through 8 talks about sanctification through union with Christ. And these three chapters are wonderful to read, wonderful to commit to memory. We know that our brother Paul basically dealt with this topic of dealing with our flesh. How do we overcome and lead a victorious life? I just want to read some verses, selected verses from these three chapters. Chapter 6, verse 1. So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Over in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Praise God for that. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Fruit unto holiness, that resisting sin. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it's a battle. We know that it's a battle, and our brother Paul addresses that in verse 7, in chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I understand not. But for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul warned us of that sin nature that we have. Praise God. He deals with it at salvation. He continually deals with it through our lives. The real assurance is in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So as we walk after the Spirit and ask the Lord to reveal these things to us, that's the sense, the assurance, the no condemnation that we have. The Lord will bless those attempts that we have to purge ourselves of those sins. Verse 14, chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Saints, that's the living word. That's the wonderful reassurance we have. Paul spoke about this fight, this resisting sin, and there we have, again, as led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. So praise the Lord for those verses in Romans. So from day one, saints, when we receive the Lord, he does that work in us. That's when we seek to purify ourselves. If we're his, nothing can separate us from the love of God, as I read. As the Lord continues to work in us, we put away more and more sin. We don't yield to it. We run away, as I mentioned. As some things are those that easily overcome us, ask the Lord for more strength. Examine yourself, confess that is sin, accept the Lord's forgiveness, and do those things that the Lord would have you do to rid yourself of those practices. The key here is being diligent. By the power of the Holy Spirit, earnestly seek to purify yourself from each one that the Lord reveals to you. Now, in so doing, I believe as we yield ourselves to the Lord, we can bless the Lord. Yes, he's blessed by our actions, but as we take those steps in the Lord and do that confession, do that purging, if you will, that the Lord would have us to do, we realize that those are answers to prayer. And saints, I believe the Lord brings things to mind here again that once were habits, perhaps, that once were things that ensnared us. We realize, hey, it's not a problem anymore. And I believe the Lord allows us to see those issues kind of disappear to encourage us and to build our faith. Again, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not our flesh. So his love to us is, this is a part of his love for us. It's his grace and his mercy that is shown. And when we thank him for those disappeared sins, if you will, saints, it blesses the Lord. He allows us to see it. And when we thank him, it blesses him. Look in Luke, okay? The story of the 10 lepers is something that we often share when we talk about being thankful and returning thanks to the Lord. But there's another part in this verse that is on my heart this morning. Chapter 17 in Luke, verse 11. Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee well. Obedience first. The Lord said, Go show yourself to the priests. Verse 14 says, and it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So, obedience came first, then the cleansing. Then they had the opportunity to receive that healing and bless the Lord. So I believe that, as I said, when the Lord does that work in our hearts, it blesses the Lord when we thank Him for that victory. So, in terms of purifying, other things, what does it involve? Basically, how do we do this? We've talked about kind of what happens. But there's 4 points that I'd like to share with you about basically the how. First of all is by standing on faith, that we're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. So standing on faith is something that the Lord would have us to do. Faith says that this work, this purifying work, has been done. This is ours in Christ. We're not fighting for victory. It's been won for us by Christ's finished work. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So by standing in faith, by the victory that the Lord has won, by doing those acts, as I mentioned, that's when the Lord can do the work in our lives in terms of removing sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says this, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there's that putting off and putting on that the Lord would have us to do. It speaks of action again, things that we are to do. And as we put off, we're renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. This is something, again, that we don't do in our strength, we do in faith, is led by the Holy Spirit. So, as we continue, as we strive to obey the Lord, another wonderful thing that the Lord revealed to us is, what is it that is doing this work in us? What is our motivation? Well, obviously, we want to be transformed into His image, but the thing that is so wonderful to also realize is that we're constrained by His love. His love for us will constrain us. It will stop us from doing certain things that we know we shouldn't do. This becomes more evident to us and serves to strengthen our faith as well. Our encouragement in this walk is the knowledge that God already sees us as we are in Christ. Isn't that a precious promise that we have? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, through which He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, in which He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So by faith, praise God, we are in Him, and we need to apprehend all of what that means, being in Christ. As I was reading for today, one of the authors said that that phrase, in Christ, and what that meant to Paul was just so special, that that phrase is used in Paul's writings alone over 150 times, the phrase in Christ. So I believe that's something that the Lord would have us learn more and more about, to what it be, I mean, to what it means to be in Christ, and have Him do this work in our lives. So we see our position in Christ. We see that we are seated with him in the heavenlies. So another thing that we can do, in addition to taking that stand in faith, is to pray a verse in Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I know that David was a man after God's own heart. But David also knew that he needed to be before the Lord and ask the Lord to continually search his heart and reveal those things to him. Lead me in the way of everlasting, that they could be dealt with, they could be confessed, they could be forgiven. And again, as we are convicted, as the Lord reveals certain things to us, it's not a source of condemnation. Saints, don't let, as the Lord is showing you things to get rid of, so to speak, it's a time to rejoice that the Lord has shown you that, convicted you. And then just repent, ask the Lord to do that work, that Holy Spirit work in you, and not yield to that sin anymore. So it's not condemnation. It's conviction that leads to action. Action that needs to praise. Praise that leads to blessing the Father. This not only applies to hearing the word, but reading the word as well. Ask the Lord to give his light to certain scriptures in our lives as to how they apply to us. So, saints, as we gather, this type of searching, asking the Lord to examine our lives, can also occur when we are in fellowship with one another. Oftentimes, when we're close to a brother or sister, we're working with them on a project or something, things can happen that will rub us the wrong way, right? Sometimes the Lord uses those interactions with the saints to let us know where we need to change, not the brother or sister. So again, that's the time to rejoice. It's not a time to run away and join another church. It's a time to rejoice that the Lord has shown us something else that needs to be dealt with. So praise the Lord how he does use the brothers and sisters oftentimes in our lives to give us that opportunity to go to the cross, put that flesh to the death, and be strengthened in him. We decrease so that he may increase. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When I was a young believer, that was one of my absolute favorite verses, because the Lord allowed me to see that when change in my life occurred, it was a glorious thing. And the Lord let me see from glory to glory, though it might be painful, might be causing you to give something up, but it was the Lord's work in my life. And being transformed into his image from glory to glory, here again, saints, is a way that we can recognize his hand in our lives. It's a glorious thing. It draws us closer to him. So, we stand on faith. We ask the Lord to examine our hearts. And then, the third thing, we must persevere in this battle, if you will, in this fight. Paul said that our walk was like a race to be run to obtain an incorruptible crown. We were exhorted to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold of eternal life. Again, something that we do. This is not a passive thing. The race has been likened to a marathon and not a sprint. And a marathon requires training. So here again, that training that we do, yielding ourselves to Him, training is best done daily. So saints, there's application for there as well. Another quote from Spurgeon, "Fighting sin is our lifelong business. And beloved, I do not know that you can have a better business. For while you are contending against sin, purifying yourself by the precious blood, you will be bringing honor to God. Your heart will become a field in which the power and grace of God will be displayed, for He will come and purify you. He will be the real purifier while He is using you to purify yourself." That's how it works. Isn't that precious? The Lord does the purifying. He will be the real purifier while He is using you to purify yourself. So, finally, number four, how do we do this? By answering the question, do we have a real, true hope in our Lord Jesus Christ? Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. There's a future aspect to that verse that we mentioned. I wonder if we've ever considered, really and truly, the benefit of being with the Lord for all of eternity and being like Him. Saints, being like Him is something that, as I said, is a gradual process. We're not going to be really like Him until we see Him. But how long is eternity? I believe it's worth it. That the Lord would have us do to spend time in Him, seeking Him about this part of our life that needs to go further with Him in this way. One of the things in terms of being purified that the Lord revealed to me was the need to, as I said, spend time with Him. But one of the first things that came under attack was my quiet time with the Lord. We all know how precious that quiet time is. In that time of spending at the feet of Jesus, He revealed more and more of Himself, how I could obey Him more, and He has truly blessed me in those times. And as our days get more and more crowded, as our employers demand more and more, I believe that we all will have to fight to guard that time. And that's the time the Lord can use, that quiet time with the Lord. He will reveal Himself to us. Another thing that the Lord has shown me recently is the need, as we sing many songs, to be sensitive to the phrase, "with all my heart." It's not a phrase that we should just sing mindlessly. Some of the songs, and I've shared this before, "It's my joy to honor you, and all I do, I honor you." Well, is that true? Is it really and truly in all that I do? Pray that it would be. "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I surrender all." Saints, do we really? "My soul longeth after Thee, You alone are my heart's desire." Those are the words that we sing. And I pray in my life that the Lord would make those words real. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you." So, again, when we do that seeking, when we do that searching, the Lord said, "I will be found by you." And that's a blessed hope that we have as well. So if we have a true hope in Christ, saints, we do purify ourselves. We yield ourselves to the Lord and allow Him to do that purifying work. We need to pray that the Lord would strengthen us in these days to allow that this command would be worked in our lives. So may the Lord help us to allow that purifying work. Lord, how we thank You that You showed us in what manner of love You have for us. Lord, how You would give us that blessed hope. So, Lord, enable us to do our part. Lord, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in these days, that we may be more like You, Lord Jesus, in Thy precious name. Amen.